The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And welcome back here. It's 8 a.m. Central Time, where we are on this Feel Good Friday. For those of you who want to feel good, sorry, Dick Butkus passed away. Yeah, you got to love the old days of the NFL, which are nothing like what's going on with the NFL today, because everybody's paying attention to Taylor Swift up in the stands cheering for Travis Kelce, who Aaron Rodgers lovingly refers to as Mr. Pfizer, since we know that Travis has been taking the jabs. Well, you know, we got all sorts of garbage going on today, but the good news that we told you about earlier was about the teacher that was sick and tired of watching drag queens parading up and down the halls of her school and said, you know what? I've had it with the CRT and this garbage. I'm out of here. She started her own school, got her own schoolhouse, and is actually teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, the Constitution, and all the other good stuff that kids really need to learn. Bully for her. Now, but the opposite end of this coin that we're going to be talking about in this segment has to do with parents who don't have options when it comes to putting their children either in private school or homeschooling them, because the economy sucks so bad they have to send their kids to public school. And the bigger problem we have because of this is all our tax dollars are going to waste supporting these unions that don't give a damn about not only your child's education, but arming the school and putting up these stupid gun-free zone school signs. It just basically invites trouble. So, of course, Wayne Black, the author of this book out now, School Insecurity, A Comprehensive Guide for Parents and Educators on School Security, Protecting Your Kids, and Fostering a Safe Learning Environment. I wonder, Wayne, first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good luck with the book. You go into some detail about the red flags that indicate why your school may have security and safety issues. Obviously, we want our kids to be safe. But the thing is that these teachers, these school nurses, I've been told by many of them, we can just make one phone call and we can have your kid removed. I mean, in Washington State now, they're hiding gender identity issues from parents. And if the parents protest, their kids disappear. I mean, don't we have bigger fish to fry than just arming, you know, putting armed cops outside the school and turning our school into a literal concentration camp?
Well, we do. We have to protect our kids in school. There's no reason for a child to be hurt in a school nowadays. It's really a simple issue. If we put politics aside, and it's only going to happen, by the way, as I say in the book, if parents and grandparents will step up and do something and talk to the board, talk to the principal, depending on what state they're in, and say, what are you doing? You've got a duty to protect my child. What are you doing to protect my child? It's really as simple as locking doors and having a plan.
Yeah. And of course, now this is what the big problem is because when you get these school boards out there, like the one in Loudoun County, Virginia, where a kid in a skirt goes and rapes a guy's daughter and he goes into protest and they end up arresting him. I mean, what does that say? What in the hell is going on here, Wayne?
Well, that was outrageous, which is why we have to go back to parents' rights. The whole concept of keeping this co-parenting with the government is just off the charts. So, but my book is, and by the way, it's number one on Amazon today, so I'm happy about that.
Good.
It's about keeping kids safe in school, and we've failed throughout the country. Columbine, Sandy Hook, Parkland, Uvalde, and we could go on and on. I analyze all of those shootings in the book.
You do.
There's always red flags. None of these kids and shooters snap. They decide. They plan and decide, and when they do that, they tell other kids, okay, don't come to school tomorrow, something's going to happen, and or they come to school and they're red flags. We call it OCB, observable concerning behavior. Teachers have to be sensitized to recognize that and do something about it. But look, if your school for parents and grandparents is not, they're not protecting your kids, I'd put them in a private school or I would homeschool them. We only have one child.
Well, I wonder, and I mean, point well taken, but Wayne, I wonder, like this video that was out here, these teachers are having a huge problem controlling the behavior of students in their classroom. One in particular, where a student picked up a chair when the teacher wasn't looking and threw it and knocked the teacher unconscious on the floor with it. And now they've arrested the student. And of course, it was a black girl, and charged her with assault, which is a felony. Part of school security. I mean, what are these parents? I mean, I understand Larry Elder's argument about the fact that a lot of black families, 70% of them, don't have a father in the house. This has a lot to do with the way they behave in school. And then they go into school and project the problems going on in their home. I mean, doesn't the school safety also have to come from within? As far as, I mean, we took away the paddle, we took away all the corporal punishment, and now look what we got. I mean, do you cover a lot of this too?
I do. There has to be cause and effect, meaning if you misbehave in school or you're a threat, the priority is to educate. And so they need to remove whomever that is that's making the threat. And the word will get around. Look at our cities in America now. The ones that don't punish criminals, look at the crime rate versus the ones that do. So it's the same thing with schools.
Yeah, I see. And the thing is that a long time ago when I was working in Austin for Lyndon Johnson's radio station, KLBJ, the Jonesboro school shooting happened. This is prior to Columbine, which you cover in the book. And they all thought they were safe. But you see these two punk teenage kids, and they were like 12 and 13, are sitting out there with guns. They pull the fire alarm and run up on the hill and wait for the school to empty out so they could open fire. This happened in Jonesboro. And our morning guy, who liked to hear himself talk on the radio, gets out there and starts pontificating about, you know, making if it bleeds, it leads. I think the media is partially responsible for a lot of this. And I told him, I said, look, you're glamorizing this stuff. I said, you are going to have copycat incidents like crazy if you don't get a handle on what you're doing here. And he thought I was some sort of tinfoil hat, right-wing conspiracy nutbag. And then all of a sudden, now we got Columbine. I rest my case. What say you?
No, you're spot on. If you look at the manifestos that a lot of these people write, and you go back and look at the computer after the shooting, their own computer, they laud and examine and play over and over previous shooters. And the media is at fault, I think, because there's a shooting, let's say, in Parkland. We spent 10 minutes talking about the victims and 3 hours analyzing the shooter and talking about his name over and over and over again. We should never mention their name. So between the copycats, video games, and psychotropic drugs that we're feeding our kids nowadays, that's what's causing this.
But they politicized it, too. I mean, the Sandy Hook thing, they are literally, the system went after Alex Jones because he said it never happened. And there's arguendo in both directions. And we get that. You're going to have it. But see, then, when you politicize stuff, what happened after Parkland? David Hogg goes on a rampage trying to take away our guns. I mean, this is, it's totally, I mean, it's not oxymoronic, it's counterproductive. How can you have resource officers that aren't being punished for failing to act? Is there really a duty on the part of law enforcement? Or, I mean, didn't they just find that the cop at Marjorie Stoneman that didn't enter the building, just like Uvalde? I mean, they found that they weren't liable. I mean, what?
Well,
how do you get stuff like this?
He was found not guilty. We call him the coward of Broward. he was found not guilty in a criminal trial, but he's got a civil issue going on. And part of that is the police departments. If they assign somebody, they ought to assign a real active, maybe a younger officer instead of somebody that's about ready to retirement. But what I tell cops is, look, if you're not going to run in there into the gunfire, we pay you to run to the gunfire. And if you're not going to do that, you ought to go sell car insurance or do something else.
Wow. Yeah, I think something else has to do with the parents who are sending their kids into these schools that either they're clueless, they don't care, they're economically challenged and they're pinned against a wall and they use the school as a babysitter and they just let the kid do whatever the kid wants. This is half our problem. And I mean, teachers now have to, with the CRT and diversity, equity, I mean, this is catering to the problem, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's too political, which is why private schools have waiting lists. And more and more people are homeschooling. Yep.
Wow. You know, short and to the point. I like that. What is Dillon's rule versus home rule?
Well, it depends on what state you're in, but it has to do with the ability to educate, who can do it, who's responsible.
Okay, now you made this a part of part two, what does it mean to have a safe school? And, of course, you cover national grants that they're apparently out there for school security. You have some of these private schools in Florida that now have guys dressed in camo carrying AR-15s with 30-round clips patrolling the hallways. You know, I'm looking at public education, Wayne. Oh, by the way, his website is wayneblack.com for those of you who want to check it out. Besides buying the book, the book is a very quick read. It's about 150 pages long. And the thing is that you cite a lot of different issues within the school system that to me create so much conflict. And you even provide a sample letter to the school board. Could you discuss the contents of that?
Yes. So this the sample letter, actually my whole checklist, assessment checklist, is also in the book. But the sample letter talks about what to ask the school to put them on notice. So that letter, mostly in most jurisdictions, most states that are covered by the Constitution or Dillon's rule, you might add, put someone notice and ask them those hard questions. You know, if you stand up at a meeting and say, hey, what are you doing? They can typically, a school board says, well, we don't have the money. We can't tell you what we're doing because it's secret or something like that. So this letter puts them on notice, and they like that. You know, I think you'll see more and more parents across the country suing school boards and superintendents individually for failure to protect. They have an absolute legal, ethical, and moral duty to protect your child in school.
What is amazing, the more I go through this book, it is just amazing about how you go through the motions with a lot of these different school shootings and what happened. I'll get to that in a second. Joe in Arkansas, you're on with Wayne Black. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Black. I think that the leaders of the Democrat Party want school shootings and encourage them, because every time there's a school shooting, that gives them a chance to scream for more gun control, and they figure eventually they'll wear the opposition down. What do you think of that point of view? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thanks,
Joe. I've heard that before, and I don't know about whether they want it, but they sure use it. Instead of talking about the victims, they jump right on there and talk about gun control, which, by the way, will never work when we take away guns from the good guys. Only the bad guys will have them. So if you look at what happened in Tennessee, that shooter, the trans shooter, was stopped by law enforcement. So you're right, though, about them jumping on gun control right away.
Yep, they do that a lot, and we're sick of it because it doesn't solve the problem. The problem is we've got students that are at these schools, and a majority of them were the shooters. that attended the school or are currently active students at the school. So, you know, we have to look at this bullying situation. I mean, do you cover that in your book?
I do, yeah. Bullying, I cover bullying, but we should think about how easy it is nowadays for people to have their kids put on psychotropic drugs. We're passing that stuff out like candy. So it's a number of factors. It's bullying, and adolescents don't know how to handle stress. So kids freak out when they break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. So if you put bullying, that, drugs, and different behavior together, and along with copycat and a fixation on shooting and guns, you're going to potentially have a shooter.
I get that. And you know, you actually cover a scenario at Stoneman with the Alyssa case in that particular chapter. That is gripping. Folks, this is a book every parent with a school-age child, and even if you don't have a kid there, but you live near a school, you should be aware of some of the stuff that Wayne talks about in the book. This stuff literally makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And the thing is this stuff continues to happen. And I don't know, because I think the teachers union, there's a big problem with this, is that they control a lot of this stuff. The COVID pandemic was another thing that catered to the downfall of the school system by keeping kids at home so they don't learn as much. You've got the fentanyl crisis now affecting schools because now kids can go out and get what looks like Skittles. And I got people constantly posting on social media saying, my kid just died of a fentanyl overdose. Please don't let your child get involved with that. Teach him. You've got the Northside School District in San Antonio. We've had a teacher, a counselor on from that school talking about the fact they've got student outreach regarding use of fentanyl and what to be on the lookout for. I mean, being proactive in some of these school districts seems to be working. But then you've got these disgruntled kids that come from broken homes, broken families. They have access to a firearm. They've made comments on social media, and kids, like in some of these school shootings, dismissed it. So what are these, as you see in this book, Wayne, how do we get the kids to be involved without acting like they're ratting out their co-student?
Well, I mean, it takes a careful approach, but you said about bringing guns to school. I mean, some private schools across the country have gone to clear backpacks. Some have gone to metal detectors. But it's just not one thing. It has to be holistic. It's talking to the kids in advance about safety and security and getting them into a mindset that they're not ratting on someone. They're trying to help them. And then there's the issue of the outside shooter. Here's what I worry about, and I'm happy to tell you this. Okay. We've got 8 or 10 million people coming across our border from Syria, Lebanon, Nigeria, Al Qaeda countries, ISIS countries. They are not coming here to pick strawberries. So I'm worried about a 9/11 type attack at a school. Especially a school whose name is provocative, that at United Something School, American School. We had that issue with American Airlines around 9/11. So that's what I'm really concerned about. So we should brace ourselves and plan for something like that. But we've got to stop that. We've got to stop the fentanyl from coming over the border. In the meantime, schools need to have Narcan. I bet that probably only 25 or 30% of the schools in this country have Narcan available, and it's over the counter. So we've got to do more.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Narcan, though, you have to be able to get to them quick enough. And the Narcan, I'm assuming, is the stuff that you give intranasally.
It is, yeah, it is. It costs $35. It's over the counter. Private schools, I just did an assessment at a private school. They have 20 extra doses of Narcan in each building. Now, wow. You don't have to do it on purpose. It's transdermal. So you could touch a bag. You can pick up a bag from the ground. Like you said, you can take what looks like a Skittle. But look, if people don't think this is a this is a complicated attack on our country. All this fentanyl coming across the border. First we had COVID, now we had fentanyl coming from China. So we need to, as a country, wake up and realize what's happening.
But the thing is on multiple fronts, and you write about this in part four about children under attack. This is one of the things that, you know, parents, I don't know how many of them are paying attention. A lot of them are so caught up in this economic downturn that we're in right now. Both parents are working. They put their kids in school expecting the kid to come home with straight A's. The kids are running into social conflict. All they worry about is their phones and texting and God knows what. Social media, it's more important to the children these days. I think a lot of it is what is being fostered by the school systems in this country. Have you pointed a finger at them and why?
Well, I have. If they think about politics more than they do the life safety of the children, they're just totally wrong. I love it when the school board tells me, well, you know, Mr. Black, we don't have enough money for cameras, or we can't really afford an SRO, a school resource officer. I ask them, well, how much money do you spend on that Las Vegas teachers convention again every year? So they spend thousands of dollars on that should go to protecting our kids as a priority. It's not going to change until parents and grandparents run for school board, stand up and raise hell, and demand it. It's not going to change.
You know, I like the short and sweet answers. Folks, I don't know if you know about Wayne Black, okay? He's got more than 45 years of professional security experience in both the public and private sectors. He was even the personal security detail leader for former Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld. He's a nationally certified firearms instructor. Now, see, when you understand why he wrote this book, it makes sense. He trains armed private school and house of worship personnel. We've had the guy from Sutherland Springs, Stephen, on to talk to us about the fact he took the shooter out there and basically saved more lives just by confronting the shooter. I mean, that's half the battle. And then you saw the video of what happened inside Uvalde. They're all standing out there using hand sanitizer while the guys in there taking out our kids. So how far into this thing, now that we, you know, have revealed you were a Miami-Dade police detective, organized crime group supervisor under state attorney Janet Reno. I'm just kind of like, wow, you know, you've got a history here and now you're writing a book about it. The whole, I mean, it's hard to frame the question with the background you've got that motivated you to write this book from this security perspective. I'm kind of curious about that because you cover a lot of bases in here, but then you're out training firearms, you know, training private school and personnel. I guess the big question is, I think you favor teachers being armed, yes or no? And why?
Typically no, because teachers need to focus on education. SROs need to focus on security. If a teacher is armed, think about this. How much training are they going to have? It's a big deal to be able to hit a moving target or in a crowd or something like that. And where is a female teacher, where is she going to carry that gun? So if I'm a disaffected student, I don't have to bring a gun to school. I get a couple guys together and we take the teacher's gun. And now we have a gun. So I think that's way down the list as a last resort. What motivated me to write the book was Parkland. A friend of mine, Lori Aladef, her daughter Alyssa, as in Alyssa's Law, was killed in that school. Lori did something about it. She ran for school board, and she's the chair of the Broward County School Board, and she's now making a difference. But we've got to stop allowing our kids to be killed in schools.
God love her. I'm glad she did this. See, we have the Iowa Mama Bears, who I'm sure you're probably aware of them, Wayne, that actually went and got a whole bunch of these existing school board members unseated and put people in there that will actually do the right thing in Iowa City, Iowa. So I mean, it doesn't take much research to figure this thing out. But all right, so now we've made the argument for teachers not having guns, and I understand that, given the fact that you have students who now throw chairs and knock teachers unconscious and walk up to teachers in the hallways and cold cock them. You know, this sort of behavior, it's just nutty. I don't like it. I think that the kids learn a lot of it at home, and then they bring it to school. A lot of them are abused, and then they project that abuse at school. Sue in Michigan, add to the conversation. What say you?
Yes, I like how he's trying to work on protecting the children, but I did try to call my local school about mask restricting their breathing. It's clearly a law that exists in Michigan. They cannot restrict the breathing. And they said the mask did not restrict breathing. But anyways, they are not protecting the children with cell towers on every school. And there is a International Committee on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection. If it's safe, why is there that word protection in there? And on their ICNIRP report, page 13, it says special consideration for pulse and amplitude modulated waveforms. Repeated or prolonged exposure to microwave auditory effects may be stressful and potentially harmful. So,
okay, this is a whole different aspect of why our kids are being harmed, and I get it. And every time I drive by a school and I see they're parked right next to high voltage power lines, that creates a problem for me. I agree with what you're saying, but see, in Michigan, Sue, where you are, they just had another school shooting. I mean, this is the one that the kid and the parents are being held liable for it now. And, you know, aside from the fact that we understand that the EMFs are also, and this mask wearing and these school policies, this goes right back to what Wayne was saying about people like you, Sue, that understand all of this should be running for school board. I mean, if you can't change the system by going in and complaining, change it by running against these libtards and get them out of there and get people in positions of authority that can actually do the right thing. Wayne, your comments on this.
Yeah, I'm certainly not an expert on that. That's pretty far up the chain. I just like to get schools to lock the doors and do the right thing to protect kids.
Well, hopefully this book in the hands of parents that care will be a big plus. Wayne Black, good luck with the book. It's on Amazon. You need to read it, folks. This is one thing that's going to get you ahead of the curve instead of behind the eight ball. We'll be back with Jamie Scheer after the break, talking about the lawsuit against Remdesivir here in the Power Hour. Stay with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and high bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, Come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
Yes, friends. And you are my friend. It's Feel Good Friday. And we care about solutions. Welcome back. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. As I mentioned before we went to break here, Remdesivir, $3,100 a vial. Part of the hospital homicide protocols. People have been getting injected with this stuff. It goes in their IV. And once they drain a bag of that into their system, majority of the time, they start having health issues, serious health issues caused by this drug. Sometimes it gets so bad, their kidneys start shutting down. Many of them died as a result. These hospitals were paid to give Remdesivir. And finally, its creators, Gilead Sciences, are getting their comeuppances. Dr. Brian Artis, who's been on the show, has not so lovingly referred to this drug as called Run Death Is Near. It also goes by Veklury. And when you hear that name, you should run because death is near. Because you get this stuff, it's no good. We have attorney Jamie Scheer. She's back on the show with us. We talked to her before about this. Now, I understand, Jamie, if you could fill us in on the contents of the suit and why it got filed. Are you, you're involved with this, are you not?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's so important that we get this news and word out there about what's going on, because it's still being administered in hospitals as like the primary care. In fact, they're changing it now and saying that, you know, oh my God, you are qualified to get this. You know, you can get this in an outpatient, come back and forth to the hospital. So it is really important to get this word out. So I really appreciate being here.
Well, we appreciate you being on.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a wonderful team of attorneys from all over the country that have come together to do this. And we filed it in California in state court because of the PREP Act, and I'll get into that. But California actually has very good consumer protection laws, so we decided to file it there, as well as Gilead is located there. So that's really, and we have two amazing plaintiffs out of the county that we're in, which is Shasta County. And we also have local counsel there. That's amazing. Jacob Levin. No relation to Mark Levin. Everyone's asking me, is he related to Mark Levin? I'm like, no, sorry. But anyway, the two plaintiffs are one that is a survivor of remdesivir. He was actually in a coma for 30 days, and it's just a miracle by the grace of God that he is alive today. He does have a lot of problems still. He was a construction worker. He's able to work, you know, and he was very healthy before, and now he is on oxygen just to get through the night. But he is an amazing person named Ed. And then we have another plaintiff named Deborah, and she is a surviving spouse. And she was, you know, high school sweethearts with her husband, and he went into the hospital, you know, talking fine, walked in, never walked out. And unfortunately, we have over 1,100 testimonials, and every interview that I do like this, or former feds does, or any of our attorneys do, my phone doesn't stop blowing up, my email doesn't stop blowing up. I got that too. Can I be part of this suit too? And the answer is yes. Yes, you can all be part of the suit, and you can also sue individually against the hospitals and doctors. Some of you, the statute of limitations may have run, but some of you may not have known, so you might be able to get around the statute of limitations. But yes, we need to stop this. And the only way we're going to stop it is by making some noise.
Well, and I get that.
Okay, so, yeah.
Now, my question here is, you know, this is going to be, I think, protracted litigation. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I think so. Let me explain something. There is something called the PREP Act, which really is an unconstitutional doctrine and should not even be in existence. I mean, think about this. If you ate a protein bar and the protein bar had all the ingredients on it and it didn't say that it had milk in it, but then your child who's allergic to milk had an allergic reaction, you'd be able to sue because it's clear, evident, that it didn't say that there was milk in it and your person had an anaphylactic reaction and came close to dying. Okay, or maybe did die. But here, these pharmaceutical companies that have more money than God, okay, they can put anything that they want. Sometimes they don't even say what's in it, and we don't have any right to know it. If we have a reaction to it or if we die from it, there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing. This is not even for the vaccine court because it's not considered a vaccine. It's an EUA. It's ridiculous. So what we did for 2 years, a bunch of attorneys went and just tried to figure out how can we get around the PREP Act. And we found false advertising, which is incredible because if you're not telling people what's in the drug and you're telling it that it's going to be, you know, successful, it's going to cure you, but there's so much evidence against that, then it's clear that there's false advertising. And if this case works, we think it'll also work against Pfizer and Moderna and any other pharmaceutical company that has put out a COVID vaccine. So with false advertising, we've asked for injunctive relief because every single plaintiff we have is not so much about getting money, but making it so that their loved one's death or injury doesn't, you know, go in vain, that it'll stop it from happening in the future, that other people won't die with this drug. So we're asking for injunctive relief. We're asking for this drug to be taken off the market in perpetuity, forever, and in whatever name they decide to call it, whether it's Veklury, whether it's remdesivir, whether it's something else that they make up out of the woodwork. And then when you find out how much each person awards the hospital when they go into the hospital and they go on a ventilator and they take this drug, there are some bills that we've seen that are $1 million for a short stay in the hospital. I mean, that should shock the conscience of everybody. Granted, a lot of them are $300,000 or $500,000, But I mean, it's incredible numbers. There's clear incentive here for these hospitals, these doctors, to do this because they were also getting bonused. And so now they're segueing into going into outpatient. And then the next thing that we've heard from a source is that they're going to do it where you can buy it at a pharmacy, like you buy Tylenol PM and have it at home. So basically you can kill yourself without knowing
it.
But it won't be the hospital protocol anymore. So that's why our sense of urgency was so imminent. We had to bring this case now. We could not let this go on anymore. So the last thing we're asking for also is something called disgorgement. And basically think of yourself if you gorge yourself with food. Okay, disgorgement means that the court can say, these pharmaceutical companies never should have gotten all this money. So we're going to take all their profits away and give it to the victim. So that's basically a quick summary of what we're doing. But my call to action, I know I don't have a lot of time with you today, but my call to action is twofold. If you think you are a victim of this, you definitely don't have to rush. You don't have to call me. You can get into the class action for sure. And number two, look for local counsel or contact us, and we will try to get you local counsel to sue the doctors and the hospitals, because it's like a domino effect. The doctors and the hospitals and the administrators, they will fold because they don't want everything taken away from them. And then the truth will all come out, and we'll get this taken off the market, and we're going to save lives. So that's really my call to action. In addition to, if you have even $1 or $5, $10, and you can donate towards the Give, Send, Go, you will help a lot of people and keep us going.
Okay, so Give, Send, Go. What is the tag on the Give, Send, Go that people should look for?
I don't have it handy with me, but if you go to the Meyer Insure website, everything is on there. All the information. If somebody wants to see the complaint, it's right on there, printable version. If somebody wants to see the press release, it's there. Everything is on Meyer, M-Y-E-R-A-N-D, Sure, S-C-H-E-R.com.
Okay. And so the thing is that all the information is there, folks, for you to donate and for you to become involved. Now, the people who actually want to become a co-plaintiff in this thing, this is basically because you filed this in California, is to keep the case in California to defeat diversity jurisdiction so that they can't. I mean, that the average person would look at this and go, you guys were forum shopping. But see, sometimes it becomes necessary because you've got to look at what the laws are. And I've always said, doing foreclosure defense, that consumer protection laws, not a lot of people are paying attention to them. And sometimes they can be your best ally and advocate to get a lawsuit filed. And that's exactly what you guys did. When you focus on all of this, your entire legal team is looking at this stuff going, man, this is the ultimate place. But I mean, are the people that you're asking to become co-plaintiffs are California residents, or can anyone across the country become a co-plaintiff, or did they actually have to file this in their own suit, in their own state? Because this, with Gilead being in California, it could end up getting removed to federal court and dismissed. I mean, do you see that happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we really carefully crafted it so that it wouldn't get removed to federal court. Big thing was not asking for damages. But it's for everybody. Because there are consumer protection laws in California, it actually opens up. You don't have to be a resident of California to be part of this class action, which is just incredible. And it wound up that we found two amazing plaintiffs perfectly to represent both types of plaintiff that we have in a county that is pretty conservative. So that was like a win-win. But no forum shopping there.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad, because we are going to put the link also for the Give, Send, Go. We're going to put that link on the website and the email blast for those of you who want to donate, because this team of attorneys is actually doing the right thing, ladies and gentlemen, that are listening to the show. We're all about solutions here, and Jamie Scheer is one of the attorneys that's on the team that is actually helping people try to get justice for their loved ones. It's a real sad state of affairs, and I'm so glad that you guys are plugged in enough and have enough time in your schedule to talk to us, because I know as an attorney involved in all of this, you are extremely busy and tied up. Like you said at the beginning of the show, you're answering phone calls left and right from people. Their website again is meyerandscher.com. That's MYERANDSCHER.com. For those of you who don't have the internet, you can go to somebody else's internet and get on their website. And I know, you know, we have a lot of people that just listen by phone only or listen to the radio. And this is one thing that you've got to get involved, because if your loved one gets COVID and ends up going to a hospital, one of the first things that they're going to do is you have to look at the protocols. I mean, this is one thing that even Scott Shara, who's been on this program before, Jamie, that I know you're aware of his case and what he's doing, suing St. Elizabeth's mm-hmm. Hospital and that whole chain up there in Wisconsin for killing his daughter. Remdesivir at that point in time wasn't even involved, but the hospital protocols that are doing mm-hmm. stuff like this, the hospitals eventually, if you get a positive outcome in this, which I don't see how you couldn't, because a lot of people look at this and go, yeah, snowball's chance in hell that you're going to get anything out of this. And all the attorneys make the money. I mean, you're going to have all these critics out there that just basically say it's not going to do any good. I don't believe that for one minute. Do you?
No. And actually, let me give everybody another little hint. If you go to formerfedsgroup.org, we have the bracelet that we made up. And the bracelet says that they're allergic to remdesivir, Veklury, barcinib, and some other things. And you can add things onto it if you wanted also. My daughter recently went in for knee surgery. She'd kill me for telling this on the air right now. But she went in for knee surgery, and I went with her. And she wouldn't wear the bracelet. So every single doctor, every single nurse that came in, I kept telling them, oh, she's allergic to remdesivir and Veklury. I had actually a couple of nurses that said, how do you spell that? And what happens to her if she gets that? And I'm like, oh, she dies. So it's all over her records now. By the time the anesthesiologist came in, she was saying it instead of me. You know, she's 26 years old. So we can all be very vocal, and we can say, if you don't have the bracelet, go in, make sure your records online, make sure everything says that you're allergic to these drugs. And one of the biggest misconceptions is I hear, oh, well, didn't Trump take remdesivir? No, he took Regeneron. Okay, sounds kind of similar when you're not a doctor. He did not take remdesivir. Remdesivir kills. And if you think of that phrase, remdesivir kills, Veklury kills, you will not let anybody you love take that drug. And that's the takeaway. If you think this has nothing to do with you, you're listening to this episode right now, and you're like, oh, I don't know anyone that's taking that. You go into the hospital, they can give it to you. I have so many different cases where people have gone in for nausea, or gone in because they hurt their knee, or they went into the hospital for various different reasons, and they wound up not coming out because they had good insurance, and the hospital was like, cha-ching. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. So we need to stop it, and we all can do this together.
Now, there's one other thing that just crossed my mind here, Jamie, when it comes to these elderly sure. people that have put their faith in modern medicine and they end up in the hospital for any reason. Mm-hmm. Is Medicare paying for all of this stuff, or is this coming out of a different government fund somewhere to reimburse these hospitals for murdering people with this drug?
That's a good question, and I really don't have the paper trail to give you that proof yet. But my opinion is that it is coming. The government is reimbursing insurance companies and Medicare, Medicaid, all that, because otherwise you'd hear, you know, help from the insurance companies, they would be crazy because they'd be depleted. So there's something going on here. It's coming from the taxpayer ultimately.
Yeah, it is. And it makes sense. And taxpayer has given Big Pharma all this money. It's been a big transfer of wealth. And again, remdesivir, this is a lawsuit against Gilead Sciences in California. Jamie Scher is one of the attorneys. I appreciate you coming on the show, taking your time out of your busy schedule to let us know what's going on. If you want to get involved, if you have a loved one that's died, you can get involved in this lawsuit. MeyerInsure.com is the website. And Jamie, we thank you so much for your time on the show today.
And thank you for all that you do. Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate you. God bless and all the work you do. And this for a successful outcome, we just pray for that right now. In the name of your son, Yeshua, amen. Can I get an amen, folks? Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it. God bless. We're going to move along with some more news now because this is Feel Good Friday. We told you already about the parents and teachers that are starting to win court battles against these transition policies. Let's look at some other things that are going on right now. NASA says, and see, I don't know why they come out with stuff like this, because are we going to be around if this asteroid Bennu, which is a 1,610-foot wide cosmic object that they're now saying it's going to have the force of 22 atomic bombs that might hit the Earth 159 years from now? I mean, what good is that? You know, what is that going to do for us? I mean, we've had close calls with this particular asteroid Bennu in 1999, 2005, and 2011. Scientists say it's only a matter of time, that the chances are 1 in 2,700 that Bennu could hit our planet by 2182, and none of us are going to be alive to even see that happen. Remember, the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? China is planning on doubling the size of its space station as it offers an alternative to NASA's led ISS, the International Space Station, which, by the way, is sitting right behind me up in the atmosphere. As we speak, we've been tracking it, and we'd like to know where it is every so often. There's actual software that you can use to look up in the sky. We got to see Jupiter this morning. NASA, of course, is targeting 2040 for 3D printed moon homes for astronauts and civilians. Maybe we should send all the elite up there, make them go to the moon and stay put. Maybe they'd love it up there. Yeah. What is it, 220 degrees during the daytime and 240 degrees minus at night? Yep, these printers, these 3D printers can create homes. Yeah, they're using them as a method for the homeless in Austin. This is an Austin-based construction company in Austin, Texas. NASA's partner with ICON, I-C-O-N, uses a 3D printer to create homes. Hundreds of homes for the homeless, as well as hurricane-resistant houses in Mexico. And they can build these homes with a 3D printer in as little as 48 hours. Makes you wonder just how big these houses are, right? Crazy. Now, ask yourself this question. Why would somebody come out with a study like this, that indoor wood burning raises women's lung cancer risk by 43%? This is a study involving 50,000 women, suggesting even occasional wood burning can contribute to lung cancer. Well, we already know that smoking is probably the biggest one because it's direct inhalation. But those of you who have a wood burning stove, and now these studies are saying that wood heater smoke is not safe. Oh, do I detect a little smack of environmentalism here? I mean, oh yeah, let all the trees just grow and die. And, you know, we've got all these trees that didn't burn when they used directed energy weapons on Maui. Wow. But then burning one in a wood burning fireplace, especially one that's not an open fireplace, but you have a closed door where you can actually, you put the wood in, you close the door, the smoke goes up the chimney, the heat comes out, the fire looks nice. I had one of those. I don't understand why, even with a little bit of smell, well, the secondhand smoke, God, breathing causes cancer, especially with all the garbage they're spraying up in the atmosphere. You got to wonder why they come out with studies like this to discourage wood-burning fireplaces. Watch, next thing they'll be after your wood-burning fireplace so you don't have a way to heat your house. Oh, you watch, they're already going after your gas stove and your gas furnace and everything else that uses any kind of fossil fuel. What do you think wood is? Hello? Oh, there's talk, believe it or not, if you live in Alaska, I feel sorry for you because oil production's in a free fall. Alaska has become America's worst state for business chasing this new carbon boom. They might actually have to bring back the state income tax. Oh, I'd be screaming at Mike Dunleavy's office for that, folks, especially if you live there. Under the gardening, farming, and homesteading section, we've got stories about storing your harvest without a root cellar, how to properly store homegrown fruits and vegetables, 15 different black chicken breeds, beauties for your backyard flock. I have had a few of them. Boy, they produce some really beautiful brown eggs and even have black skin and meat. There's no shortage of options here. There's 46 black chicken breeds recognized by the American Poultry Association. And this is great news because there are different reasons for having a flock of them. So you can find these breeds on our website in an article under the Garden, Farming, and Homesteading section. Of course, we have one Second Amendment news story. A restraining order didn't stop the assailant, so instead a woman's gun did. On September 28th, a woman found herself in a domestic violence situation, was forced to take drastic measures to defend her life in her apartment in Wilmington, North Carolina, which illustrates the important questions of how it is that women be armed, especially when it comes to domestic abusers. CDC, by the way, has ended their COVID-19 vaccination card campaign. There's some good news for you. Oh, they used to require it during the pandemic era. Not anymore. You got to love that. That is what I consider good news. Of course, the CDC has said a whole bunch of stuff that now we're finding fault with. I guess this is just another one of their ways they can backpedal. Just remember, folks, today we've got free shipping on orders over $200 at the Power Mall. 20% off my books, 10% off OptiVita products. We appreciate your donations as well. You have yourself a quality weekend. As we are out of time for today, we will be seeing you on Monday again here. If you have a prayer request, please go to thepowerhour.com, click the community tab, and let us know so we can send it up to the Almighty on your behalf here on the show. We're all about solutions. Once again, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Stay safe. We'll see you Monday. And the lover of my soul, Creator God, He's Yahweh. Great I am, He's Yahweh. The Lord of all, He's Yahweh. Possession of, He's Yahweh. The righteous Son, He's Yahweh. The three in one, He's Yahweh.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.